I can still remember exactly what it looked, felt, and sounded like on that September afternoon in 1954 when my life changed forever. The sky overhead was bright as a bluebird's wing. The Southern California sun felt warm on my skin, and I could smell the spicy bark of the eucalyptus trees that surrounded the public tennis courts at Houghton Park in Long Beach. A handful of boys and girls were lining up for their drills as I arrived with my friend Susan Williams for my first session with a coach named Clyde Walker. It wasn't long before the thwack, thwack, thwack of the balls being struck on our court blended into the noise rising from the adjoining court, too. Susan had introduced me to the sport a few weeks earlier by asking me a simple question as we sat in our fifth grade classroom. "Do you want to play tennis?" "What's tennis?" I replied. I listened intently as Susan explained that in tennis, you could run, jump, and hit a ball. Three things I loved about basketball and softball, two of the team sports I played. Susan invited me to play at the Virginia Country Club, to which her family belonged. I was predictably awful, but Susan thought it was funny when I blasted a ball over the fence and shouted, "Home run!" A first, I'm guessing, at the venerable VCC. On the way home, my mind was racing. That night, I asked my father, "Daddy, which sport would be best for a girl? You know, in the long term." My father put down his newspaper and thought for a while. "Well, there's swimming, golf, and," I waited for it, "tennis." Tennis! I had tried swimming, but I was the worst in my class at the YWCA. The great female star Babe Dixon Seharias played golf, but to me, golf looked too slow. Tennis seemed just right. I liked the variety and mental challenge. I liked being able to hit the ball over and over. Tennis fascinated me from the first day I played with Susan using a borrowed racket. When I pestered my parents for my own racket, I wasn't discouraged a bit when they reminded me that money was tight, that I'd have to buy it myself. I did odd jobs for neighbors who smiled and indulged me when I told them my goal. I weeded flower beds, swept sidewalks. My mom advanced me $2, and I rode my bike to a local pharmacy where I bought candy and then resold it to the other kids at a small markup. I put every nickel and dime I earned into a mason jar above the kitchen sink. After a few months, I couldn't wait anymore, and my parents took me to a sporting goods shop. When my parents approached the salesman and said they'd like to see a tennis racket for their daughter, I mustered the courage to ask them what $8.29 could buy. He showed us a sweet little wood racket with a purple and white throat and a purple grip. I thought it was beautiful. I bought it and slept with it that night, and the next night, and many, many nights after that. While I remain forever grateful to Susan for introducing me to tennis, it was Clyde Walker whose free instruction made the sport come alive for me. Once Clyde showed us how to hit a proper ground stroke, I love the pure feeling of the racket strings connecting cleanly with the ball, absorbing its energy and hurling it back. I couldn't get enough of the thrill of making contact. How the transference of energy shoots through your fingers, your arm, your shoulder, and how your whole body is involved as you swing. I love the drama of it all, too. Chasing down each ball, the universe of possibilities that opened up as I drew my racket back, and then that split-second pause where everything hangs in the balance as you're preparing to hit a return. There is something swashbuckling and instantly addictive about all of it. I love the challenge and suspense of trying to hit a perfectly executed shot and the charge I got when the ball landed out of my opponent's reach. Then I couldn't wait to get the next ball and do it again.